seem more concerned for his Burmese friends and colleagues, you know, Aung San Suu Kyi and all his colleagues.
Myanmar troubles continue. It's Tuesday, February 23rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, India and China cool in the snow, a climate change in policy, and stiff person syndrome. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Australia says it has serious concerns about an economic advisor to Myanmar's former de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi, who has been detained by police. The military overthrew the elected government in the Southeast Asian nation on February 1st, alleging fraud in a November 8th poll. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
Sean Turnell, an Australian academic, has been a key economic aide to Myanmar's de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Her National League for Democracy party won a landslide victory in an election last November with more than 80% of the vote. Suu Kyi and Turnell have been detained, along with others, by the military, which seized power in Myanmar. Turnell is an associate economics professor at Sydney's Macquarie University. Its website says he's away for an extended period after taking up the post of senior economic advisor to the government of Myanmar. In a message to the Reuters news service, he said he was fine and strong and not guilty of anything, along with a smile emoji. Earlier he wrote on Twitter that the military takeover was gut-wrenching and heartbreaking and an utter catastrophe for the economy. Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Maurice Payne said in a statement, her government was deeply concerned about reports of Australian and other foreign nationals being detained arbitrarily in Myanmar. Myanmar's ambassador to Canberra has been called in by the federal government. Tim Harcourt from the University of New South Wales Business School is a friend of Turnell's.
I was talking to Sean the day before, or a couple of days before, when the coup had happened, and I was basically saying to him, listen, mate, you better get out of there, you know, be safe, you know. And he seemed more concerned for his Burmese friends and colleagues, you know, Aung San Suu Kyi and all his colleagues. He said, no, he's fine, he's been treated well, he's all fine. And then the next day I heard he was detained. DFAT had arranged for Sean to fly out and they were about to accompany him to the airport and basically the military got there first.
Myanmar was controlled by a repressive military government from 1962 to 2011. A government effectively led by Suu Kyi came to power after elections in 2015. The overthrow of her administration prompted thousands of people to gather in Yangon, the nation's biggest city, to condemn the military takeover and demand the release of their elected leaders. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. United Nations chief demands immediate return to democratic rule in Myanmar. UN and rights groups pan Malaysia's plans to deport Myanmar nationals. Gunmen kill four female social workers in Pakistan. India and China border disputes persist despite troop pullback. China steps up focus on food security in major policy document. You'll find much more on all these stories when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. Indian and Chinese troops have withdrawn from a disputed border that triggered a nine-month-long standoff between the two countries, but rebuilding ties will not be easy as disputes linger. However, trade ties between the two large Asian economies are expected to improve. Anjana Pasricha joins us from New Delhi with details.
Chinese and Indian artillery and tanks have rolled back, and soldiers have retreated from the banks of the strategic Pangong Lake, which straddles their border in the Himalayas. In video released on the pullback, the Indian Army said temporary structures erected by the Chinese have been dismantled. The disengagement, after a nine-month standoff from the most fractious point in India's Ladakh region, is significant. But it is only a start.
It's a first step. It's a tentative step. But yes, it is aimed at diffusing the tension which exists, and particularly at this spot around Pangong.
Indian Defence Minister Rajnath Singh told Parliament earlier this month that disputes persist along the border known as the Line of Actual Control, or LAC.
There are still some outstanding issues with regard to deployment and patrolling at the LAC. We will focus on these in further discussions.
Talks have started on stepping back from three other friction points along the border in Ladakh. But tensions in the Himalayas are likely to simmer amid growing suspicion in India, which has accused China of border incursions.
The main point is that what did the Chinese hope to achieve by doing what they did? What was their intention? And certainly those will be factors that will be in the minds of the Indian planners, and will ensure that we will be vigilant in future, more vigilant in future for Chinese actions.
Restoring economic ties may be easier. India banned Chinese apps such as TikTok and raised barriers to Chinese investment as military tensions spiked last year. There were growing calls to boycott Chinese goods amid increasing nationalist sentiment. But Chinese goods, from low-cost accessories to mobile phones, continue to flood Indian markets. Many Indian industries, such as pharmaceuticals and solar power, remain dependent on Chinese components. Indian exports to China grew last year.
Indian industry is now looking at China as a market, and China has offered them India the market. So I think the push is going to be both ways. Earlier, the push was only, from the sectors which were dependent on imports from China. Now there are these sectors like steel and others who are dependent on market in China. So I think there's going to be a substantially large constituency in India which will be seeking normalization of relations with China.
That means political and economic ties between Asia's two biggest countries could move on divergent paths. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Happening now in Asia, protesters gathered in Myanmar's biggest city of Yangon despite the ruling junta's thinly veiled threat to use lethal force if people answered a call for a general strike opposing the military takeover 3 weeks ago. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us here today on VOA Asia. There is political climate change in the air, as the United States has recently officially rejoined the Paris Agreement after the Trump administration abandoned the Global Climate Pact, saying it was too costly for business. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain tells us more.
The White House says the severe winter storm that has caused at least 47 deaths in Texas and a number of other U.S. states this week is the type of extreme weather event that climate change is triggering. Some families without power and water sought refuge in furniture stores and shelters. President Joe Biden said the U.S. can no longer delay joining the fight against climate change.
This is a global existential crisis, and we'll all suffer the consequences if we fail. We have to rapidly accelerate our commitments to aggressively curb our emissions and to hold one another accountable for meeting our goals and increasing our ambitions.
At an event to mark America's rejoining the pact, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the move strengthens the global effort to slow warming.
For the past 4 years, the absence of a key player created a gap in the Paris Agreement, a missing link that weakened the whole. So today, as we mark the United States re-entry into this treaty, we also recognize its restoration in its entirety and its creators, as its creators intended. Welcome back.
Experts say the appointment of former U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry to be the first ever presidential envoy on climate sends a powerful signal. Kerry pledged the U.S. will redouble its efforts.
We rejoin the international climate effort with humility and with ambition. Humility, knowing that we lost 4 years during which America was absent from the table, but also with ambition, knowing that Paris alone will not do what science tells us we must do together.
Kerry recalled the joy, hope, and excitement at the time the 2015 Paris Agreement was signed by virtually every country in the world. It aims to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions and to limit the planet's average temperature to 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels this century. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
What, might you ask, would prompt a person to run 880 kilometers for a person he met on Facebook? Maxim Moskalkov met two people who can explain.
Since 2015, Tara Zier, a successful dentist from Washington, D.C., had been trying to discover what was causing her shortness of breath, fatigue, difficulty walking, and excruciating back pain. The symptoms struck not long after her husband's death.
At that point, I was feeling an enormous amount of stress from that event and was extremely worried about my children. They were grieving. I was grieving.
After consulting with endocrinologist, psychiatrist, rheumatologist, cardiologist, and a myriad of other doctors, she still didn't know what was happening, and her symptoms were getting worse.
I could barely get off the couch. I couldn't take care of my kids. My in-laws actually moved in with me. I had to hire someone to live with me.
Finally, in 2017, Zier found a neurologist who diagnosed her with stiff person syndrome, a rare neurological disorder with features of an autoimmune disease. There is no treatment, only eliminating the symptoms. Only one person in a million suffers from the syndrome.
It takes on average 7 years to diagnose. Seven. Like, it's insane. And that's because it's often misdiagnosed as multiple sclerosis, MS, Parkinson's, psychological disorders.
Tara went through a few rehabilitation courses in Mayo Clinic, which has improved her life considerably. Meanwhile, halfway around the world in Australia and Tasmania, ultra-distance runner Shane James, nicknamed the Tasmanian Devil, knows those symptoms well. He suffers from the same condition.
You feel that drained or you're in that much pain and it's just such a grind where it's 24/7, day in, day out, and you live with it and you know that you're going to live with it the rest of your life.
Tara fought back by writing a book and founding Stiff Person Syndrome Research Foundation, a nonprofit organization that raises funds to study the disease. She has managed to collect enough to finance the first research on the illness at Johns Hopkins University.
My role in this really is to take that seven-year number and squeeze that down and so people can get diagnosed properly. It's given me purpose.
James has been hoping all his life that someone would start to research the syndrome and met Tara through Facebook. So he decided to help her foundation and draw attention to the syndrome by running 880 kilometers through Tasmania. It took James 3 weeks to run the 880 kilometers, and the $20,000 he raised were passed to Zier's foundation to fund research on the syndrome. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
As our program draws to a close, we continue online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.